worship good.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, worship team.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That was awesome. Come on. Well, I have one announcement before I start to speak, and that's about the women's retreat. So we have brochures in the back. Or actually, raise your hand if you didn't get one and you would like one. Tracy has them. She can hand them out to you. But the women's retreat is November 9th through the 11th. It's going to be really awesome. We love it. And registration is now. And it is first come, first serve. We are with the Mooresville Church. It's not just us. And so last year it did fill up. You know, so I encourage you not to wait, that this is a really awesome, exciting opportunity. We love our women's retreats. And so you can go on the riverlifefellowship.com, or you can also go on ours, right? River Life Chapel Hill, and there's a link to get to registration. Or there will be, Matthew. Oops, I just put him out there. There will be tomorrow. But today, there is one. If you go on riverlifefellowship.com, that's our Mooresville site, and they have a banner that you can just click on and register. So, it's great. All right. Well, I'm excited. How about y'all?
Me too.
Yes. Y'all having a good day?
Yeah.
I just want to say, Lord, we just ask you to just come do what you want to do in our hearts. We give you this time, Lord Jesus. I just ask you that you would touch hearts this morning, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what it is that you want to impart, Holy Spirit, to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I woke up a few mornings ago, Monday morning this week, and I woke up, and as I woke up, I heard this spontaneous song that Becky, our worship leader back at home, and I did a long time ago. It was just a spontaneous time, and it was like this. It said, "This one thing have I desired, and I seek after encounters with the love of Jesus. With the love of Jesus, this one thing have I desired, and I seek after encounters with the love of Jesus, with the love of Jesus." So I woke up to that, and I was like, ooh, yeah, amen. Lord, that's what I desire, that's what I seek after. Sometimes it's good for the Lord to remind you what's in your heart. You know, sometimes we just forget even what is, but he wants to remind us of what really is deep down in our hearts, what he's put in our hearts. And so that was what was bubbling up. And I'll just tell you this, that this, the word of God, is alive and breathing, and it is meant to lead us into encounters with him. It's not meant just for us to try to study and get here. It's meant for the Holy Spirit wants to open the Word of God and lead us into encounters with the love of Jesus. Right?
Amen.
And so as I was, actually had these other things going on in my heart, and really it's funny that that T prayed all the hours you've been a mom and things like that. Honestly, it's in those places that I have learned that the Lord wants to reveal to me more of himself, more of who he is in my marriage, in my relationships, just in my day-to-day life. I went to YWAM, Youth with a Mission, when I was after my first year in college. I went to Montana for what they call DTS, Discipleship Training School. I went out there to Montana, and then I went to South Africa for my outreach. It was a 3-month outreach. It was amazing, off the charts. The Lord, even the wild thing is, one of the prayer walks that we were taking when we first moved here on campus, I was walking across a street on campus, and I smelled the smell, and it was like it threw me back to South Africa. It was like I could smell South Africa, and I was like, what was that, Lord? And I felt like the Lord said, some things I birthed in you there in South Africa are going to come forth, and you're going to see here while you're in Chapel Hill. And but one of the things was that time in my life was a real, the Lord just grounding things in me, teaching me things, setting a foundation, really a time of coming away from living with my parents and searching that place with the Lord on my own. It was like they had laid this foundation in my life of this is who the Lord is and telling me those things. But it was like this was my time where the Lord said, okay, I want to speak to you, you and me, about who I say you are. And I want to set some things in your identity. And so he did such powerful things. It was like being on this high for 6 months of just spiritual things constantly. And you're in these all day, you know, glory encounters with the Lord and teachings and new people coming in every week. It's like the biggest party in the Lord with all these people that are your age and everybody's just on fire and it's just so good. And you go on this South Africa trip and you're out in the middle of nowhere where there's baboons and it's just one excitement after the next, you know. It's just like, wow, can this get any more exciting? So then I come home and I end up going back with GX Jam, which was a group of bikers, bladers, boarders, and dancers. It was Generation X Jam. And they traveled. At that time, I joined as one of the hip-hop dancers to travel.
Yeah.
And it was so good. It's so fun. And it was, and we traveled from city to city. We went into the schools, and then we did big events at the end of the week in like a stadium or something like that, where we had all the ramps. Skate ramps and bike trick bikers and, you know, and then we also were traveling with Team Extreme and the Hawaiian Breeze. They were the ones that did like break all the bricks, you know. They were the strong people that were like, for the name of Jesus. And then we preached the gospel in the middle of it.
Wow.
We got to get out and, you know. And we got to do the hip-hop dance and preach the gospel, and it was so exciting and so fun. So if you can imagine, that was like 3 more months. If you can imagine coming off of that and having to come back then to my everyday life. And I was, you know, and there were some, I came back and enrolled at UNC Charlotte and had to go back to college and ended up doing the best I had done in all my academic career that year because I had vision in the Lord, you know. But also, he told me something in that time, and this is totally not in here, but this is why Matthew gave me more than 1 week. I get to preach again next week. But is because, you know, he told me in that time because I was like, okay, Lord, I know that you have something for me here. It wasn't just that time, and now I'm supposed to. They did teach us. Now, don't go back to your church and be like, y'all need to be doing it different up in here. You need to be doing it like we were doing it. You know, like, y'all, don't get frustrated with your church. Go and be ready to serve. You know, and serve your pastor. Don't go there saying, pastor, you need to hear about this, this, and this, and this is what you need to be doing. You know, because that's your feeling when you come off this high, like, what is all y'all's problem? Y'all need to wake up. Y'all need to get the fire of Jesus up in you. You know, like, come on, what's your problem? But I knew not to do that, but I really needed something from the Lord because I didn't want to just come back and go back to just being who I was before I had been encountering the Lord. Yeah. And so what he spoke to me was, Sarah, I am going to do something in your everyday. You are going to learn something about me. That has been your mountaintop, but I'm going to I'm going to teach you something about myself in the day-to-day, in the mundane, in the hard times, the good times, the great times, that is going to be so rich to you. It's going to be so much wealth that you are going to value it even more than those high, you know, mountaintop times. And I was like, okay, Lord. And the thing he spoke to me is he said, Sarah, I want you to make yourself available to me every day. And the Lord was reminding me of that, because that actually was, I got an opportunity to preach back in Mooresville, and it was the first time I'd ever preached. I was young. And, you know, they come, you come back from those events, they're like, what you got? Give it away, you know? And so I got this opportunity to preach, but the Lord reminded me of that message that, and that was really what he was doing in me, was make yourself available. Make yourself available to me. Every morning he was saying, Sarah, I just want you to say to me, Lord, I'm available. And then watch for me throughout your day, you know, in whatever you're doing. So that has been so valuable to me, because also then I started, then after I got married, I started having kids. And when you have kids, and when you're in between the washer and the dryer, when you're over the sink and you're washing some dishes, when you're changing dirty diapers, when you're cleaning up spit up all over yourself and everywhere, when you're at the very beginning of having a baby, it feels like you feed the baby, change the baby, burp the baby. Feed the baby, change the baby, burp the baby. And we're going to go again. Feed the baby, change the baby, burp the baby. I mean, and they're going to sleep for a minute, you know, and you're going to sleep too. And so it's like, Lord, I, you know, and then there were these, you know, meetings and things that, you know, I had to miss out on. I was going to be back in the nursery feeding the baby, changing the baby, burping the baby. You know, like, I wasn't going to be able to be the one that was up in the middle of the glorious times. And I was like, Lord, I refuse to become bitter right now. I refuse. There's got to be something for the people, the mamas, for the daddies, those that are at work. There's got to be something, Lord. What is it? And he said to me, Sarah, I can come to you in the middle of where you're at. Yeah. I want to come and meet with you. Wow. And so he started to speak to me something about between the washer and the dryer. Matthew and I used to look at each other and go, glory zone. You know, like, we're in the middle of all this laundry up to pier piles and this big old wreck of a house. And, you know, where you just get, we actually used to watch this show called The Glory Zone. I don't know if y'all ever saw that show, but it was called The Glory Zone. And they were talking about these glory encounters that people were having. And we'd be in the middle of laundry and we'd look at each other, Glory Zone, here we are. Come, Lord Jesus. You know? And he would. I'm telling you, over my sink, washing those dishes, I have found Jesus in some amazing ways. So, out of that, I feel like the Lord has been birthing something in me about his Holy Spirit and encounters with the love of Jesus, okay? So, then I was reading something, and it was like he caught me off guard. It was like I was reading the Word, and he took me in, and he said, I want to show you my heart as a father through Jesus. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples, right before it was his time to go die on the cross, he's explaining to them, you guys, I'm not going to be with you much longer, right? He's saying to them, so in John, if you guys want to turn with me, flip with, click, whatever you do, or look up there on the screen. John 13:33. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, okay? So this is when he's getting ready to explain to them that he's getting ready to go away. It says, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
And then Simon Peter said to him, I love this, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. I love this, how Peter's just like, I'm going to lay down my life. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, you're not. It's okay. You know, like, you think you can do that, but you really can't yet. Wow. You can't yet. And I realized with reading this, I felt the Father's heart. Because Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. No, actually, you're going to deny me three times. But I felt the Father's heart over it because I felt him being like, okay, I'm explaining these two things to you, and you're not getting it. You're not getting it, and you think that you would be able to do something you're not empowered to do yet. Mm-hmm. You're not empowered. This is for your good that I go away. It's for your good that I go away. It's for your good because there's a helper that's coming, the Holy Spirit. And it's the Father's heart saying, oh no, wait, hold on. Trust me in this. I'm going away. You can't go with me right now. And I know you don't get this. You don't get it. And your hearts, because literally next verse 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In that, let not your heart be troubled. The Aramaic translation for that is, let not your heart flutter. Okay, so a year and a half ago when I started having some stressful physical problems, that was the thing that started. My heart started fluttering. It started doing this, like, it was when I had to end up calling the ambulance. That was stupid. But I did. I was at a orthodontist appointment with Gabe, and my heart started doing this fluttering thing. It was doing extra beats, and I was like freaking out. Anyways, I'm not going to go into all that. But when I read that, I was like, do not your heart be troubled. Don't let it flutter. It's that stress, that worry, that anxiety that tries to fear, that tries to get our attention. But Jesus is saying, no, don't allow that. Don't give that. Don't partner with fear. Don't partner with worry. Trust me here. This is for your good. This that you're walking through right now is for your good. And I just feel the Father's heart being like, because I want to come live inside you. I'm wanting to dwell inside you. You're not getting it, but just being with me. You're not going to be able to understand this just being with me. I need to come. My Holy Spirit needs to come live inside you and lead you into all truth. And it reminded me of when my daughter, Lydia, love her to pieces, when Matthew and I say we're going to go out on a date. Matter of fact, if I say I'm going anywhere, she says, no, you're not. I say, yes, I am, honey. Dad and I are going on a date. No, you're not. And I mean, literally, she'll say that to me. No, you're not. I'm like, honey, listen, it's really your benefit that Dad and I go on a date. Okay? This is good. Like, you, and those of you that are married, those of you that are gonna be married, all that, it's for your whole family's benefit that you go on dates. Okay? It's your whole family, everybody's benefit, because you taking care of your marriage is taking care of your children.
That's right.
Okay? And trying to say to her, it's for your benefit, child, that I go with your daddy and we get a break. Love you. But that we go and remind ourselves that we love each other, that this is very important, that we get away, that we take time for that. But does she get that? Oh, no. It doesn't matter when I say that. She's like, no, you're not. And then she will, even when sometimes, cling her arms around my leg when I start, she starts to realize it's about that time. And then it's like, I mean, it's been like, and let me tell you, just for all the children that think they didn't do that, I mean, there was a stage for each one of them. I remember times looking in the rearview mirror, we're leaving for a date, and there's somebody running down the road trying to catch the car. And I'm like, just go, just go, just go, just go. You know, like the babysitter will grab hold of them in a minute. Poor mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, thank you. Thank you for holding tight to them while we run. No. But we were trying to say to them, listen, it's your benefit.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't get it. We don't, honestly. Yeah. None of us get, what is it, Lord, you're trying to do with me? This doesn't feel like my benefit.
Yeah.
This change, this thing that I'm walking through, this that's awkward.
Wow.
You're trying to grow me up and I don't want to grow up. You know, because even having to say to my children sometimes, like, it's your benefit. I had to tell myself that dropping off Judah at school. It's for his benefit. It's his benefit that I, like, let him go, that I bless him, that I don't sit here going, I don't want you to leave. I mean, I felt that. So we had it on the flip-flop side. You know, I have to tell myself, this is good. This is how he's created to be. He's created to grow up and fly and soar. And I can't keep him in my house all the time. And, you know, it's not easy in those moments when we're walking. And Matthew is talking about maturity and things. And so I felt the Father's heart talking to through Jesus here. And in John 14, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come back for you. Like, settle your heart. Don't let fear, don't partner with fear in your life. I have plans and purposes for you. Trust me. Trust me. There where I am, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, am I going too fast?
No, you're right.
Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. See, they're still not getting it. You
right.
See that they're not getting it.
Yeah.
And I love how patient Jesus is with them. So he says, sorry. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me, and the words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So he's saying, just trust me, just believe me. But I'm seeing something in this is that he's revealing to them, like, see, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. I can't leave you this way. I can't. It is for your good that I go, because you need the helper. And I desire to live inside of you so that greater works than I have done, you will do. So that you will be able to know that I'm in the Father, that I'm in you, that we're all one. We're smashed up. That is what you need. You need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives.
Amen.
It cannot just be. We have to learn to partner with the Holy Spirit. And that's what's so awesome, is that's what he wants to do. His desire from the very beginning would be that, like in the garden, that we would dwell, that we would know each other. But he knew that we were going to need the Holy Spirit inside. We were going to need him inside of us to be empowered to love him. You know that it takes God to love God. Do you know that? If you don't, let me tell you right now, it takes God to love God. Because later then he actually says, and I saw he said it like several times, down in verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, and then over in verse 23, it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. But he's saying in there, he doesn't just leave it at that. He doesn't just say, okay, I'm gonna stay here with you and expect you. Come on. You need to keep all my commandments. Matter of fact, Peter, you're not going to be able to. You think you could die. You think that you would die for me. You think you'd be all brave. But let me tell you, you're going to deny me. You need the Holy Spirit living in you. You need, it takes God to love God. And he didn't leave us in that place. He said, I've got a plan. Trust me. And I'm coming to live inside you. Then you will be able to be empowered to love me, to keep my commandments. Out of that relationship, that's a promise. That's our heritage. In him is that Holy Spirit wants to commune with us, encounter us in every day. He wants, as we partner with the Holy Spirit, he wants to give us solutions. He wants to give us answers. He wants to empower us to obey what he said. Obey his word. Obey his commandments. But listen to me. You can't do it on your own. You can't. We can't. Left to ourselves, we will not, even in our best intentions, like Peter, we won't be able to do it. We will not be able to do it. It's only not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not in your greatest gumption. Not in your greatest day. We have to learn how to, like what Tracy was saying. And earlier, she had gotten in prayer. She saw us just leaning in. We have to learn how to lean in to the Holy Spirit, how to lean in to him, because he is the one that is going to give us what we need. He's the one that's going to bring the maturity in our life. And what's so exciting is that he knew it. He knew it ahead of time. So in verse 12, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Throughout this whole thing, I'm just seeing him tell them what is going to be a product of the Holy Spirit coming, of him dwelling inside of us, of that, what is going to be a product of that relationship that we were created for, living and breathing inside of us and in unity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Us wrapped up in that union, that out of that place we would be able, and we can say, I will be able to see these things come forth in my life. And one thing that has really helped me is on in verse, well, let me just say this. I'm going to read, sorry, I'm all over the place back there. But verse, I'm going to read on for, so chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. But the world doesn't recognize them because they haven't had that Spirit of truth inside them to lead them, open their eyes, that the Lord does when he comes and he gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And the moment we get cocky or proud and think that it's our understanding, be careful. We need to pray that the Spirit of revelation would come, that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, but it's going to take the Holy Spirit, and we're crying out for the Holy Spirit to come, reveal himself in greater measure to all, that he would draw the lost in, that their eyes would be open. You know, but even Jesus is saying, they're not going to be able to receive me because they don't see me. They don't have that revelation, but you do. You do. That's exciting. You know, that's the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I won't leave you as orphans. And that's that spirit of abandonment, okay, that tries to make us feel like we don't have what we need. We've been, you know, we can never get enough. There's a lack. It's going to run out. Whatever that is in our life. That's the spirit of abandonment. But the Lord was saying, the Holy Spirit, he's coming. He's not going to leave you as orphans. I can just see myself turn into Lydia and be like, I'm coming. Like, I'm going to come back for you. I'm not leaving you. But, you know, it's like, So the Father's saying, listen, y'all are all acting like orphans, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't partner with fear in this moment, but no, partner with the Holy Spirit and knowing that he's the Spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. We can know the Father. We have been given everything we need to fully know the Father, to fully know him. We're not in that place. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. He has been poured out. We do have access to the Holy Spirit. We're in that glorious place where we have access to know the Father, to know the Father in every area of our life, every day. And that's exciting to me. Amen. And then verse 19, it says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Because I live, you will. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. So in that wild house saying, in that day. Okay, you're not getting it right now. You are not getting it. And you're going to ask me over and over and over to show me the Father. Like, because you don't have what you need, which, and this is why I'm doing it. It's for your good. It's for your good. You know, when the Lord allows some things, sometimes it feels like, what in the world is going on? But if in those moments we can say, Holy Spirit, come. Come with your peace. You give peace, not as the world gives, but you give us an abundant of peace. Yeah. And Holy Spirit, I want to partner with you now. And I'm asking you for what you say. What do you say in this moment? Lead me into truth. Let me know the Father in this moment. Let me see the way you see in this moment. And then so it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So he's saying, listen, it's not, it's if anybody wants this, and it's going to be that we're going to come make our home in them, and we're going to love them. They're going to love us. There's a communion that I have made for us, for anyone who wants this, for anyone who wants this. Mm-hmm. And out of that place, you're going to be able to keep the commandments. I think sometimes we read that like, if, then. But what he's trying to say is, I'm needing to leave so the Holy Spirit can come, so that you, out of union with my Holy Spirit, that love connection, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we're all in one. The love encounters with the Father. You will be able. You will be empowered. You will desire. Your desires will be my desires. Out of that place, you will be able to keep my commandments. And so then down in 25, this is something that really I love. And it says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So have you ever had those times in your walk with the Lord where you went away with the Lord, where you maybe, like I said, was on this real powerful high-top time with the Lord, where the Lord speaks something to you, maybe a women's retreat, maybe a men's retreat, maybe camp, and you just feel the Lord, or just in a moment in worship and with the Lord, even if it's your home, where it's just you and him, and it's like glory zone, and he speaks something to you, and then you walk out, and your kids or your husband, or they weren't in that glory zone with you, and they don't really care about your glory zone. They're wondering, who's going to feed me? Who is going to take me somewhere? And all that. The laundry still needs to be done, and the dishes need to be clean, and the car needs to be fixed because it's got problems. Has anybody ever experienced these things? Have you come home from a women's retreat? You're tired. You stayed up all night, but you were glory encountering, and you came home, and your husband was like, glad you're home. Here's the kids. And it's like, whoa, where was that glory encounter anyway? Like, I ain't feeling it at the moment. And a lot of times the enemy wants to come in those moments and say, that you experienced was not me. That encounter you have with the Lord, that was not me. The enemy wants to say, that was not the Lord.
Yeah.
That was not Jesus. That was just some experience and you got caught up in it. That's not true. Okay, what I've learned is a lot of times God speaks things. He does things, he heals, he sets free, and then he says, now, I want to teach you about this, that it's going to be a process of this word being worked out and made real in your life. A lot of times the word will go past where you're at. You know what I mean? It's like calling you to something, you know, or even... Like for me, it was, I had been in a moment, I was set free from anxiety. Completely, my body completely stopped trembling. I was completely delivered from terrible anxiety. And in that moment in worship, with an encounter with the love of Jesus, I was completely delivered. But what did he say to me? And it's so funny because I didn't see, it's not like, I mean, I had read that scripture, but it wasn't like I connected it till later, is that he said to me, now, I want to teach you how to stay free. Yeah. And I said, okay. And I knew it was going to be moment by moment,
day by day, I was going to learn things about the Holy Spirit, but it was true revelation. He had given me real revelation. A lot of times he gives us real revelation in those encounters. But what he wants to do is he's given, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Because sometimes we even forget. We even forget what it is the Lord said or forget what he did. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to grow us in to who he's created us to be. So I want to encourage you that don't throw those words out when the Lord, or don't allow the enemy to come in and say, that wasn't really real. It was real. It's just that now there's going to be a walking out of that thing. He's going, and you're not, don't get discouraged if it feels like, okay, I step back, and here I am feeling that anxiety again. But I've learned, the Holy Spirit is teaching me about openings in my life, things that I need to shut, how to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, how not to partner with fear. So that's one thing we can do. We choose not to partner with fear, and we choose to partner with the Holy Spirit over and over and over. It's waking up in the morning and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm available today. Here I am.
Come on.
Today. And then watching for him around you. And it's exciting because it's like as a child. It's like when I'm teaching, I feel like that when I'm trying to teach my children, I feel like there's moments in that trying to teach them where I'm like, shikara ba 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 honga ba ba ba. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to do. This atmosphere that's going on outside of me feels like chaos. So shikara ba 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 ba. I try to tell my kids, you are a thermostat, not a thermometer.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You probably don't, because I have to say it to myself over and over and make sure I'm saying the right one. You're a thermostat, so in other words, you can set the temperature. You're not a thermometer that's affected by what the temperature is around you, that's checking for the temperature. You're a thermostat. That you have inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, can set the atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you go into places and it feels like chaos, you know? And I am just looking for where's the peace of God that passes all understanding to rule and reign in my heart and mind right now. And I declare that I do not have to be ruled and reigned by the atmosphere that's going on outside of me. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. See, I'm still growing in this revelation too. You know, but what I think is awesome is that we have been given a friend.
Yeah.
We have been given someone who wants to live our day in and day out and does not want to say, you are helpless. Figure it out. He's saying, no, I have come to live inside of you. I live that you might live. I will live. I am conquering death that you might live. So I just want to encourage us all right now just to really just to say, Holy Spirit, we want to partner with you. We want to partner with you. You have Jesus. You died on the cross. You paid a price that we could not pay, so that we could live alive and empowered to do your will, to do to love you, to be loved by you. And so, y'all want to stand up? I'm going to pray for you. So, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that your heart burned so much for us to not leave us as orphans, but to send the helper, the helper, the Holy Spirit. So right now, Lord, I just ask you that you would hover over each person in this room right now with your love encounters from the Holy Spirit, Lord. This one thing that we desire and we seek after, encounters with your loving Father, with loving Jesus, with the loving Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
Just come afresh today, Lord, that we would encounter you, Holy Spirit, in every area of our lives, Lord Jesus. That you've spoken to our hearts, that you have, the words you have spoken over our lives, the promises that you've spoken over our lives, Lord Jesus, that you would come and teach us how to walk in those promises. Teach us day in and day out, moment by moment, how to live victoriously in you, seated in those heavenly places with you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room who has not invited the Holy Spirit to come and live and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would be baptized afresh today in your Holy Spirit presence. That your Holy Spirit would fill them afresh today, Lord. That they would know, that their eyes would be open. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Encountering God between the washer and the dryer.